listening to Setting Course, an ABS podcast. Join us as we navigate the latest trends, developments, and challenges facing the rapidly evolving maritime and offshore industries. Catch every episode at www.eagle.org and podcast platforms everywhere. Hello and welcome to the show. I'm John Snyder, Managing Editor of Riviera Maritime Media, and I'll be your host. Class societies have a vital role to play in the maritime industry, establishing and developing minimum technical requirements in relation to the design, construction, maintenance, and survey of ships and other marine-related facilities. Rules developed by class societies are key to enabling safety throughout a vessel's life cycle. Joining us today to talk about how ABS is rethinking its approach to rules are Derek Novak, ABS Chief Engineer, and Dan Cronin, ABS Vice President of Class Standards. Derek and Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John.
Hey, great to be here, John.
Derek, why don't you kick us off? What is happening in the industry that has driven ABS to reevaluate its approach to rules?
Well, John, as you and probably many of the people listening to this know, that the industry is going through a massive period of change, being driven by decarbonization regulations, driven by digitalization. So all that change is requiring us to reconsider how we can handle classing these vessels. So if you start looking at the IMO targets to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, all the push to change time and harness and embrace all the digitization going on in our industry, we really believe that this is going to fundamentally change how ships are designed, built, operated, and classed. So we're seeing this new technology being adopted at a very fast rate. Based on that experience, we think we really need to have our rules set to support this type of change.
And Dan, did you have anything to add to what Derek said?
It was well said. We see all sorts of special requests coming in that don't always fit well within our prescriptive rules. A lot of times when we've written our rules, we have very specific technological solutions in mind. When industry innovates, they oftentimes go outside of that, and I think our rules in the future will be set up well to handle that.
Now, Derek, what enhancements are being made by ABS to meet the industry's needs?
Well, I mean, basically, when you start developing these class rules, sometimes they take a little bit of a longer time to develop. And trying to develop a class requirement for every new technology that comes up, this could take months, weeks, maybe even years, depending on that technology, to watch it mature over time. And so with this evolution of technology that's happening faster than anybody can really write good, solid prescriptive requirements, we really decided to fundamentally change the foundation of our rules and adopt a goal-based approach. The advantage of this approach is that it focuses more on the safety aspects, and it can be applied to any technical situation that anybody can dream of. So this is really something that we're pretty excited about, by being able to handle these requests. Anybody has these new technological requests, we have now a program or plan to be able to just apply our requirements to them. So it really allows industry to pursue a class approval of some newer technologies, novel concepts, alternative arrangements, without being held back to because, hey, we don't have requirements for that. We don't know what to do with that. We've got something now that can take any technology that comes forward and start applying an approach to it.
So unleashing innovation.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's great. And unleashing that innovation and having that framework that allows for people to be able to try and push the boundaries, but have it established with a safety background or safety basis for that innovation that's going in there. So it's still meeting the intent of class rules, even though there isn't a specific class rule for that technology.
Now, I was going to say, Dan, wanted you to take this next question first. And, how does that goal-based approach manage the risk inherent in adopting new technology?
Yeah, thank you. So ABS has introduced functional requirements throughout our rules. These functional requirements capture the hazards that need to be addressed and functions that need to be provided by different onboard systems. By predefining these hazards, we take some of the variability out of the risk assessment process. We do require that new hazards introduced by the new technology be identified and mitigated. But we really think that this pre-work of introducing functional requirements is going to be well received by industry and folks that are looking to innovate.
And what goes into that pre-work, Dan?
It was a big effort. We went through our entire marine vessel rules to understand why we had certain requirements in place. That's already been done. So now the functional requirements are included at the beginning of each section of the marine vessel rules, and again, capture the hazards and the functions that need to be provided when complying with that particular section.
And Derek, I was wondering if you could weigh in on that.
Yeah, this is really something that's taken off of, and it should be fairly familiar to our industry because goal-based approaches have been around for quite a while. There's nothing super magical there. The IMO has regulations and circulars on goal-based requirements and how to deal with functional requirements. But what we've done here that's really something unique is we've gone through the entire set of the marine vessel rules. So you've got the entirety of what's needed to class a vessel set up in a goal framework, and that those goals are all underpinned by functional requirements for every part of the vessel. So not only do we go through and really truly define the intent of class, this is what, and by having that defined, you're going to be able to take any technology that you want to put on board a vessel and make sure it's not going to impact other systems on board that vessel as well. So this really happens that, you know, hey, look, you want to try something new, but you don't know if it's going to impact your automation system. You don't know if it's going to impact your propulsion or your steering. This is the method that's being able to establish to make sure that entire vessel will be able to take on that new technology without compromising the safety of that particular asset.
And that sounds like a pretty tricky proposition, given all you had mentioned earlier about digitalization in the industry and systems working together. And a lot of that, of course, is software.
Yeah, exactly. And trying to make sure that the system works and is fully integrated together is really becoming a critical part of the entire safety paradigm when you're looking at these vessels. So being able to try and look at and being able to determine where these systems are interacting when you're putting new technologies on board. And then you can couple this with a lot of the other innovations that are coming out of APS these days, such as our simulation technology, where we're able to simulate these systems and the software involved in these systems to be able to look at how they're going to act in process. You start coupling the enhanced rules and this particular set of goal-based approach with a lot of the other innovations that are coming out of ABS today, really is able to handle all this new technology and digitization, including all the decarbonization that's coming out industry today.
Now, what about, you know, Dan, I was going to ask you, what about the, you know, technology development certainly is not going to stop because a rule for it doesn't exist. But do you see, could this approach be a new avenue for faster or improved development?
Absolutely, John. That's exactly why we're doing this. We have clients coming into us all the time asking for us to review or cooperate with them on new ideas and new technologies. And we just can't tell them, hey, you need to wait until we develop a detailed rule set for this. So by introducing the goal-based approach, we've done a lot of the pre-work. We've introduced the functional requirements and let them know what it is they need to meet in order to have their technologies approved. This approach is in line with what IMO has been doing. And so we expect that not only will the class process be faster, but approval by flag administrations will also go quicker too.
Well, certainly comes at a time where the industry is under extreme pressure to decarbonize more quickly. It seems like this approach is just what the industry needed.
We believe so. We've been working closely with industry over the past several years. We got a lot of feedback from clients at the beginning of the process, and the message is clear. They want to be able to innovate. They want the class rules to be able to handle all of the new ideas that they have.
And Derek, did you have anything to add to what Dan said?
One thing that was really important that Dan mentioned was the interaction with flag states. So as everybody knows, a lot of the requirements are not just pure class, but there are also requirements for statutory requirements as well. By using this goal-based approach, we're kind of speaking the language of flags. All the flag states around the world are very familiar with this type of approach that was developed at IMO. So when you kind of putting things in terms that flags understand, and when you're looking at them and having to put new technology on board or discuss an equivalency to regulation because the regulation didn't cover that technology, you're able to put that approach in terms and in language quickly, put that approach in terms and languages that a flag can understand and ingest and be able to move that conversation with the administration faster down the road.
Now, it seems to be, you know, certainly a step change to developing this approach. What was the background in developing it?
So again, at the beginning of the project, we were challenged to write the best rules in class. And we went out and we approached clients, and we got feedback from over 600 industry participants, from owners, shipyards, designers, vendors, and even the regulators. Based on this feedback, we categorized our work project into a number of different categories, the goal-based approach being the most significant change. It was a big effort. We worked with engineering offices around the globe. I think we recently counted up, and we've had more than 150 people from our organization contribute to this project as authors. It was really an impressive effort all around.
And do you see this new goal-based approach, do you see a different role for ABS as well in the process?
Well, our core role is always going to be the same, right? Our responsibility is to make sure that vessels are built, designed, and operated in accordance with acceptable standards. With this approach, though, we are going to be entering some new territory because it's new. Prescriptive requirements are just that. They specify exactly what needs to be done when certain technologies are introduced. With the goal-based approach, it's going to be a little bit of a different class process. Risk assessments are going to be more important. Understanding from the owners how the vessels are operated is something that's going to need to be considered. So there's going to be a lot more collaboration with this type of approach across the range of different stakeholders. So our role will evolve, I'd say.
And you have anything to add to that, Derek?
Yeah, a couple of quick things. I mean, one of the things that I think we need to remember or remind everybody is the prescriptive requirements are still available to everybody. So if you're building a very conventional vessel, a very conventional tanker, container ship, bulk carrier, all those conventional prescriptive requirements are there and are intended. The goal-based approach is really there to address this newer technology and to be able to embed this new technology and these new innovations rapidly on board the vessels. So those prescriptive requirements are still available to everyone. I also like to add that, you know, we've spent a lot of time preparing our engineers for this type of approach. We've been on a multi-year course training our engineers to deal with risk assessments and risk approaches, culminating with training on all of dealing with goal-based approaches. And we have a core team set up to handle any questions that anybody may have related to applying a goal-based approach. So I think ABS will be evolving as industry is evolving, but we're ready for it. We're really ready to embrace the change. We're ready to embrace the innovation from our customers. And we're really looking forward to helping our industry bridge the gap from where we are today to that zero emission world that we need to get to.
So, Derek, what's the response been so far from industry to the new goal-based approach?
Well, John, it's still in the early days, but I would say almost a couple hours after even the initial release, we already had one person reach out and say, I need to hear more about this, which gives us a great sign and great feeling that this is something industry is excited about. So we've been kind of scheduling meetings to talk to customers about this new requirement, but we've also been talking to folks prior to the release to gauge their interest levels. And we've heard from all of the ABS major clients. So we've seen a real favorable response from our customers saying that this is something that they've been looking for and that they're really excited about trying to adapt and use with some of their new innovations that they're coming up with.
And just to add to that, right, there's clients that are out there already, the early adopters that have been doing this, that have already been going through the challenges of trying to fit new technologies into our existing prescriptive rules. So anybody that's familiar with this approach has been receiving it very favorably. The other surprising supporter that we've had are the flag administrations. Just like us, they are looking for ways to apply fixed, rigid requirements to this changing world that we're in.
And speaking of changing worlds, Dan, what other changes has ABS been making to meet the needs of industry?
Great question. So again, when we went back and we got feedback from our clients, a couple of other themes came through. One is they really want the rules to be clear, and they want to be able to find the information they need at the right time. On the clarity piece, we've been working hard to eliminate vague wording, introduce figures, and to add commentaries throughout our rules to really make it a lot easier for clients, stakeholders to understand exactly how the rule should be applied. On the access piece, we've introduced a new tool called Rule Manager 2.0. It has very good functionality. We've had a lot of interaction with users as we were developing it. So you can very quickly navigate to the content you need, do searches across all the documents, and there's new features coming out through the course of this year to really put the best access tools into the hands of our users.
And Derek, did you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, that role manager tool is really something else. I've had a chance to use that. Somebody who's in our rules every day, changing rule books all the time, trying to find that right rule at the right time. We've got over 28,000 pages of requirements out there. And to get that right requirement in front of the right person when they need it is something that always is on our minds. So having great search features and then having the ability to also bookmark the sections that you use frequently, you could create your own book create your own library of requirements. So having those features where you can get your requirements and get those updated requirements as they evolve and mature over time, and having them at your fingertips, I think is really important to our clients and to our staff here at ABS.
Now, with only a few minutes left in the podcast, I was wondering if Dan, give you the opportunity first, if you had any key takeaways for our listeners today.
Hey, absolutely. I think the key takeaway is that ABS is prepared for the future. We're entering into a period of rapid technological change, and we've put a lot of work in to put our rules at the forefront of industry.
And how about you, Derek? Final thoughts?
Yeah, I just like Dan, I completely agree that we're ready to support our industry as they face these challenges, and we look forward to being a partner with them as we go through it. And also, just a reminder that, you know, the skull-based approach that we spent time talking about today is one portion of all the advances that we've been making on our rules. We've also added quite a bit of clarity to our requirements, where we've included a lot of additional commentary to help people better understand some of the prescriptive requirements that are available. We've also updated some of our software in terms of access to the rules to be able to allow customers to find that right rule set, right rule requirement for them using a new Rule Manager 2.0 software. So we've got a lot of advances going on, and we're going to keep going to support the industry.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Derek and Dan, for joining me today on Setting Course.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Enjoy talking to you.
Thank you for joining us today on Setting Course, an ABS podcast. If you're interested in learning more about today's topic or listening to more episodes, visit www.eagle.org.